This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. We wanted to make sure and address the topic before the month wraps up here in a few days. Desta Walsh is the district manager for the Oregon Department of Human Services. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, talk about what you do as district manager at DHS.
So, as the district manager for DHS, I oversee both the child welfare and the self-sufficiency programs for Douglas County. I've been with DHS for about 20 years initially, and the bulk of my time actually was at an office in Salem, but I've been here in Douglas County for about 5.5 years, which has been nice. This is my hometown, so it was nice to come back. So both of the child welfare and self-sufficiency programs have their own program managers who really are responsible for the day-to-day service delivery to the families that we serve. So my role really is probably best described as more administrative, that I provide more of the foundational support and structure, help to manage the resources that we have. And really, my job is to help make sure that our staff who are working out in the community and with families are prepared with what they need to really effectively and efficiently do their jobs.
So what led you into this kind of field?
You know, to be honest, I kind of accidentally stumbled onto it initially when I was young and recently out of school. I knew that I wanted to do some type of human services delivery. I had experience being a foster parent and an adoptive parent myself. And when I returned to Oregon after living away for a while, it was just something that became available for me to apply for. And as soon as I started, realized that this is the kind of work that I wanted to continue to do.
So explain how the Department of Human Services, if I can get that out, works with the various agencies that address child abuse prevention and dealing with it.
Sure. So, you know, the Department of Human Services, specifically the Child Welfare Program, isn't designed to be a primary prevention agency, obviously, you know, being that the door into that program for families is when there's a report of concern made to a child abuse hotline. So it's not, it's not typically a voluntary entry into this program. But once families are in that door, we do work closely with our partners and service providers in the area to try to minimize the level of intervention that families will have to experience from DHS, certainly helping to connect families with the services that are available in the community to help keep their families intact and safe and stable. We really value that in most cases, we recognize that being at home with their families is the best place for children. So we strive to support that when it can be done safely. So a key to that really is helping families to be safe and stable, which at times, you know, can happen through their natural supports, their friends, family, their employment, education. But other times, you know, we have to help support it through some other community-based services, such as, you know, for mental health, both for sometimes adults and for children, substance abuse services, both, you know, again, for adults and children at times, parent coaching and education, just to name a few. Our self-sufficiency program through DHS really also falls under that description of prevention, that when folks access that program, it is voluntarily. Families who are eligible receive, as part of their services, family coaching, which is, an assigned worker that really helps them to reach out and connect with the services they need, get assessments that they need, help, you know, break any barriers that they have to becoming really healthy and safe and stable.
Mention some of the agencies that DHS works with in this area.
Some of our key partners, you know, we have a lot, but some of the key ones that kind of come right to mind, of course, you know, like I mentioned, our self-sufficiency program, which is, of course, part of the DHS. But also, you know, locally we have the Family Development Center. UCAN does some work with us as well. We have ADAPT and Compass Behavioral Health. The Safe Haven Maternity Home is a great resource that we enjoy working with. There's a relatively new one. FARA has just come in the last couple of years here in Douglas County and is providing a lot of services to children and families, primarily through serving adults that helps to, you know, reinforce that parent-child relationship. There's also Douglas Cares and the CASA of Douglas County. We work closely with the local school districts and the Roseburg ESD. We work with Options Family Counseling. There's really a number of resources. We try hard to stay connected to as many programs as we can to make things easy and, you know, kind of wholesome for the families that we're serving.
For people on your staff that are working with these groups, what kind of background or a degree or what leads to the type of work they're qualified to do?
The qualifications, it depends on what role they're playing with, you know, what role they're applying for and working with the department. At this point in time, in order to be a casework staff, so working with the families who are, you know, involved with DHS as far as having children in state custody, whether they are placed in home with their parents and having some oversight or being temporarily placed out of home, those folks are required to have, at a minimum, a associate's degree and also some years of relevant experience in providing services to children and families.
How big an issue is child abuse in Douglas County and around Southern Oregon?
I looked up, you know, some current data for Douglas County specifically, and as of the first of this month, we have 332 children who are in foster care, which could include children placed with relatives or friends who have decided to be certified to do foster care for those children. We have about 60% of the kids in foster care in that type of a situation. As of today, we have 70 children who are being served in home. So they're getting some type of in-home service and have some oversight by the child welfare office. In the last year, I wasn't able to pull up the number of reports that were actually made regarding children in Douglas County, but typically the assignment rate is really close to 50% of the reports that are received get assigned to somebody to go out and investigate. So I was able to pull up that in the last 12 months, we've had just over 1,150 reports that were made that were assigned. So you can roughly guess that there were between 2,000 and 2,200 or 2,300 reports made. So about 63% of those ended up being unfounded, which means that after an investigation was done, we determined that there wasn't any evidence to support that a child had suffered from abuse or neglect. And then from that same 1,150 approximate, 26 of those were founded, which means that there was some concern that abuse or neglect did happen. That doesn't necessarily mean that there was an intervention that had to happen as a result. Every situation is different, you know, based on what's discovered. And then about another, the remaining 11% ended up being unable to determine, which means that after gathering all of the information, there wasn't sufficient, you know, information to determine whether or not it had happened, usually because of conflicting stories or, you know, our inability to get the information that was needed to make that decision. So our numbers have certainly gone down since I arrived in Douglas County back in 2015. At that time, we had just over 500 children in foster care. This last year has been a little bit slower, I think because of the COVID pandemic that we statewide experienced just, you know, a fewer number of reports for several months. But that is slowly picked back up.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Desta Walsh, District Manager of the Oregon Department of Human Services. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 on Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. True Wealth with David Littlejohn and Katie Shook, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Kyle Reed, Fire Prevention Officer with the Douglas Forest Protective Association. We'll look ahead to a fire season not that far away. Wildfire Awareness Month is in May. That's coming this weekend. We'll talk about that as well. But April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we wanted to talk about that with Desta Walsh, the District Manager of the Oregon Department of Human Services. Just before the break, you mentioned, Desta, about less reports of child abuse during COVID-19. And I'm curious if some of that, though, can relate to the fact that it may have been harder for victims to report and that they were not necessarily in their normal school settings where teachers and other mandatory reporters might have a sense of something going on during the past few months.
Yes, certainly that's been a concern and something that, you know, we're aware is probably the biggest factor resulting in those reduced numbers this last year, that children have been spending more time isolated. They've had less contact with their friends and family. They've had less contact with, like you mentioned, their school teachers, possibly their mental health counselors, members from their churches, other folks who would recognize and some of who would have an obligation to report concerns.
Now, as we go through this pandemic in year two, apparently, is there any additional funding that's getting your direction to pay for more services with some of these folks who are dealing with it right now?
You know, I've heard that there is. I haven't heard the specifics yet of what exactly that's going to look like. Those are, you know, discussions that are happening right now in Salem. So I believe that there is some additional resources coming. Certainly we've seen an increase in resources through our self-sufficiency program during this last year with the assistance, expanded assistance for lunches, for SNAP benefits, for assistance for our families. So yes, I do believe there'll be more coming, but I'm really not prepared today to know exactly what that would be.
And of course,
how that will look for our community.
Right. The state budget, of course, is being crafted right now in terms of beginning officially at the start of July, as we've been talking with lawmakers about that. When it comes to dealing with child abuse, people think maybe first off about physical abuse. Some of those effects are very obvious, but for the mental health side, sort of the psyche of the child, how deeply can abuse of either kind, mental or physical, how deeply can that wound a child?
You know, abuse, especially the early childhood experiences, really can have effects on people in different ways and mostly in ways that aren't positive. So some of the things to be concerned about or be aware of are, you know, with developing mental health issues, low self-esteem, sometimes delayed social and emotional development. We see that play out over time with children, you know, expressing their fears and trauma through some of their own behavioral, you know, issues. You see people who grow up having difficulty building trusting relationships. There's an increased chance of criminal justice system encounters for folks who have experienced abuse and neglect. And then I think, like I touched on a little bit earlier, that there's always that concern for that generational instability and kind of continued cycles of abuse that you really want to get in and try to interrupt as much as we can.
It does seem like sometimes those who are abused end up, you know, a couple decades ahead being the abuser themselves.
Yeah, it's hard to really pinpoint a lot of times, like what exactly, you know, causes a child to be abused or causes somebody to abuse a child, I guess is the better way to say that. But we try to gather information about kind of the entire family functioning and what's happening for those families that that we work with. And so there's key indicators that we look for, and some of the most often seen include like parent and caregiver substance abuse, domestic violence, but then right up in there is that concern about parent or caregivers who have their own history of abuse and victimization. There's also some pattern of financial stress, and then of course folks who are having struggles with mental health.
As you are working with these families, you see situations with the mental aspects of abuse. Do you have places that you can direct these folks to for help?
Yeah, locally, you know, we have several mental health agencies. A couple of the big ones I talked about with Douglas Cares, Options Counseling, and Compass Behavioral Health. But there are also several private, you know, and smaller providers that are available. A good place to start for folks really is to reach out to their healthcare provider for referrals and information about some of those things. Another really good resource is our Child Abuse Hotline. It's an 800 number in Portland, and not only do they take reports of child abuse, but they also have community resource information available, you know, around the state. Even our local office has community resource information available for folks if they need that. And folks are welcome to call and request information. We also, you know, are really encouraging folks not to come in and have the in-person contact because of the COVID situation. But if folks really are needing something immediately, they could walk in to get resource information as well.
And for someone who feels that, you know, they could be at risk for abusing their child, maybe nothing's happened yet, but this past year has had its challenges on lots of different levels, where can they turn?
I would really encourage some of the same things that I just talked about, that really if they're feeling, you know, afraid to call into our hotline, for example, to maybe talk with a trusted adult, somebody else that they know they can depend on to help, you know, get them assistance, reach out to their own medical provider, you know, that through DHS or law enforcement or their medical provider, they can be referred to Douglas Cares when it's appropriate to have them assessed to figure out what their needs may be and how best to get them served in the community. I think most important is for people to know that they need to talk with somebody, whoever they feel comfortable doing that with.
And it seems like increasingly a lot of the medical providers that you might traditionally go to for regular medical issues, that part of the larger practice there involves a mental health component or being able to easily direct people to assistance within that own, you know, within their own framework, as opposed to having to go somewhere else.
For sure. And here in Douglas County, we have a network of care that pretty regularly have meetings where we all come together through a system of care that's really led by Umpqua Health that helps connect the physical, dental, mental health care for folks. And then we're a part of that group, too.
Now, it seems like a lot of the things you've talked about obviously involve professionals. They've got to have a lot of education and qualifications and all of that. Are there opportunities for folks to help in practical ways with some of the kids that have been impacted by child abuse?
Certainly, we have what we call a resource room available. So it's a place where we take donations at our office of clothes, shoes, coats are always really appreciated. We get donations of toys sometimes, diapers, other things to help take care of children. Foster parents are reimbursed for the cost of caring for children, but they end up spending a lot of their own time and money doing things to help support children. There's also the Douglas County Foster Parent Association that if folks were interested, they could call our office and get more information about to connect with the president of that program about other ways that they could volunteer or help to support children who are in foster care in Douglas County.
For those of you at DHS and these other groups working with this situation, it's got to have its own intense emotional aspect just of the things you cover. How do you keep your staff well cared for?
We have a great staff here in the Douglas County office. They're kind of like a big family. We spend a lot of time talking with each other and helping to really just take care of ourselves and each other through it all. There's not a magic answer to it. There's a lot of vicarious trauma that folks experience. So most important to us is just being aware of that and watching for the signs of that and making sure that we're all comfortable, you know, reaching out and getting the help that we need if we need it.
Desta Walsh is the district manager of the Oregon Department of Human Services here in Roseburg. This is Child Abuse Prevention Month on Inside Douglas County. Desta, thanks for being here this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.